So the first reading is from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them be the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Hear the word of the Lord.
Second reading this morning is from John 12, verse 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant will also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is time for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. And now is the judgment of this world. And now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's St. Patrick's Day. Who's wearing their green for St. Patrick's today? Some people like to wear their green. Anne's got her green on. I have something with a little bit of green in it because I thought I may as well do a nod to Patrick. I do have a green shirt, as you know, but that needs a wash. So, St. Patrick. Interesting person, St. Patrick. A lot of people know about St. Patrick, and they know about the legends of St. Patrick, that Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. Guess what? There weren't any in the first place. That's a legend. He's not true, folks. However, what is true, that he drove the pagan religions out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happened with Patrick? Patrick was not Irish. Patrick was English. Patrick was a slave who was enslaved. He was sent to Ireland as a slave. He was very badly treated. He escaped, went back to England, and then the Lord called him back to Ireland. And dream. And he went back to Ireland because he wanted the Irish people to know the God that he had met. And Patrick was somebody who made something happen, which, because in through his absolute obedience, he understood the culture he was in because he had been a slave in that culture. And he knew what these people were doing and what was the overarching culture in that area was the Druids. Now, what the Druids would do, the Druids had animal sacrifices to try to appease their god. Their god was very angry, always angry. And the way, if something went wrong, you went and you did a sacrifice because you were trying to appease the god, so the god wouldn't be angry anymore. And if things went really, really bad, if you had a firstborn son, that was the best type of sacrifice. Now, Patrick knew this. Patrick understood these people thought that God was angry all the time. God's not angry all the time. But Patrick came to Ireland, and what did he tell them? He said, there is a God, yes, but he's not angry. In fact, he loves you so much that so that you don't have to sacrifice anything else, he brought his only son, his firstborn, and he made the sacrifice for you so that you could come to him. Turn it upside down. The Druidic people, the people who had been following this religion, which was all about, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, I can't do it, I have to do all these terrible things in order to get there, suddenly find out that God did the one thing that they could not do. His own son. He gave his own son and made a bridge they could cross. And Patrick did something else. Why did I go and get this out? Anybody seen a Celtic cross? Now, this is not a Celtic cross really, but it's the same sort of shape. That's actually a crown of thorns that I made to go over the cross because this is the stole I wear in Lent. But the Celtic cross is like this, isn't it? You've seen them with the circle. Patrick used the Celtic cross. It was already there in different ways from England, but he brought it across to Ireland, and what he did was he taught people using this tool because they didn't speak, they didn't have, you know, they couldn't read or anything. So he used this, and what did he do? He talked about the cross, talked about a God who is one and three, and he taught them that there was a process to wholeness, and that process was following around a circle, which is always a whole, has no beginning, no end. And the process was in each of the four corners of the cross. And each one went, spoke back to the cross in a different way. And Patrick's big thing is covenant love. Patrick understood. Now today, I talked to you a little bit about this word chesed, is how you say it. You've got to get the going. Chesed. Sometimes it's spelled with a K before the H to try and give you that idea. Or I get too close. Chesed. It is a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word, it doesn't just talk about covenant love. It talks about faithfulness, steadfastness. A steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. We've heard that so many times. The word for steadfast love is chesed. When Jeremiah talks about the love of God as covenant for his people, it's chesed. This is the depth of the love of God for every person, and it is God's own character. Now, what our young people are going to help me with today, I've asked them to do a little task for me because it helps me get it done, but also so we can do other things as well, is they're going to help us to laminate. I have 14 pieces of paper there that need laminating, and each one of those pieces of paper have a station of the walk of Jesus to the cross. And now this is the biblical stations of the cross, not the Catholic ones. The biblical stations of the cross, and each one has a reading from the Bible and a prayer and a picture to help us to think and pray Patrick used a lot of pictures that way. And over the years, churches have. That's where stained glass windows came from. We tell the story through the picture. And being able to do pictures helps us. Sometimes the best way to tell our story is in picture, isn't it? I'm going to release you guys to go and go and do that. And afterwards, we are going to we're going to get everything outside. And we're going to make this resurrection garden. So if you want to hang around and help us make a resurrection garden out the front afterwards, please do that. The covenant love of Jesus, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is more than just that God is someone who really likes us. Deeper than this. It's so deep that it creates community. It creates community because God is community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is community. And God, in God's love, within God's self, wants community here with the Lord and with one another. And the covenant love of God is so faithful that it will never, ever stop. God is so faithful, so steadfast. And this is our Jeremiah reading. When we look at Jeremiah, he says, the days are coming when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, with the people of God. And it won't be like the one that I made with their ancestors when I took them out of Egypt, because they broke that one. Even though I was their God? No, husband. See the relationship? God is not talking in terms of God, people. He's talking in terms of husband, wife. I was their husband, and I wanted them to be with me, and I wanted them to walk with me, and I wanted to be in that relationship which is so close and intimate with my people. And they broke it. Now, humanity has sort of done that from the beginning, haven't they? This is our condition, the human condition, that we have a tendency, instead of walking with, to go off and do our own thing and visit from time to time. That's not a marriage. Marriage is when you are together. Now, it doesn't mean that one can't go to work and come home again and stuff, but you want to be together. And it is a continuum, isn't it, of relationship. And that relationship has give and take in it. God wanted that sort of relationship. And then he says, this one that I'm going to make, this covenant, I will make with my people. This time, I'm going to take my law and I'm going to write it on their heart. I'm going to take who I am and how we're going to live together. I'm going to write it on their heart. Instead of it being on a tablet of stone, written on their hearts. And how will he do that? Well, we know through Jesus, he did it through the Holy Spirit who's given to us, who writes on our heart. Because when we respond to God, we come to that place where our heart response is to be in community with him. They won't have to teach one another to know the Lord, because they'll all know me, from the least to the greatest, because for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. This is a foreshadowing of the cross. This is God through Jeremiah, 600 years before the cross, saying, I'm going to do this thing. And this is about this wonderful, steadfast, faithful covenant love. God will not give up on us, ever. And this is why, even if you have a past, and some of us have pasts which we would never want anybody to know, doesn't matter what it is, your past does not disqualify you from your future. It doesn't. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter. Say, well, Lord, you really think so? Yes. God set it up from the beginning. And we know that because Jesus tells us. And Greeks, probably believing Greeks, were trying to, what they called God-fearers, were trying to follow the Jewish religion, but of course were not allowed in because they weren't Jewish. So they would follow it, but they weren't completely able to participate, wanted to see Jesus. And see how even the discipleship community works. They go to Philip, so Philip tells Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. They're all working together. Jesus says, now is the time. My hour has come. To be glorified. We don't tend to think of the cross as glory, do we? That's what it is. And he uses one of these amazing descriptors of what it is to give everything for a God whose covenant love is so present for us. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it just remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much. And if you love your life, you lose it and remain a single grain. But if you are ready to, the word here is hate, but it is about if you are ready to not love that life so much that you're not prepared, that you'll hand it over, that you'll hand over your life, then you will have eternal life with him. It is something he gives because we are prepared to stop being a single grain doing our own thing. But to go to him and in this amazing love which has been with us since the beginning of time. Because from the moment Adam and Eve mucked things up, God planned to crush the serpent's head. Whoever serves me, he says, must follow me, and where I am, they will be too. He's not someone who says, I'm over here, come on, let's go. He is someone who comes and says, follow me, let's go together. Go together. Relationship. This is what Patrick discovered. This is what he taught. This is why he used this tool, because it spoke of relationship. The relationship in the Godhead, the relationship which Jesus established through the cross with us, because he died, we live, but also because he died, we are able to be absolutely free of everything that we are ashamed of everything that holds us. And some stuff can hold you really tight, it can be hard to shake. And yet if we're prepared to surrender that to the Lord and work with him, he can heal it, you know. The wounds in the depths of our hearts can sometimes be pretty deep. But, as Corrie ten Boom likes to say, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Jesus says, what should I say? My soul is troubled. What should I do? What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No. That's why I came. There it is. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I love that the Father answers. Glorify your name, Dad. And Dad says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. The crowd doesn't quite get it. Jesus does. Because now I'm going to drive out the ruler of this world. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people to myself. John tells us this was to indicate the kind of death he's going to die. They were going to string him up on the cross and they were stringing him out like this and they were going to leave him there to die, and there he would draw all people to himself. And forever his arms are extended. Because the love of God never dies, never stops, never gives up. One that is God will be there. Even for Israel, who, as he says, I made a covenant with you and broke it. You went off and did your own thing, but I was still here. I was still here. I was still calling. I was still wanted you back. I will always be wanting my people. I will always love you. This covenant love, this chesed love, is not like human love, which sort of goes, Amy and Gally, that's the last time. Write you off. Never talking to you again. That's it. I'm over. Bye. Now talk to the hand. Have you had anybody do that? I had somebody do that to me once. Talk to the hand, they said. I was a teenager. They were doing the thing, you know, as teenagers do. And I said, hand, be gone. Back them up. It happens. We do it to one another. God will never do that. He will not do that. You have to come back, though. Teenager can't just say, talk to the hand, and then still be hostile, and I will wait. But eventually we have to work it out, don't we? We have to work our relationship out. It's a relationship. Relationships don't work out by just wandering off and hoping it'll get better. They work out because we talk to one another. We come to one another. We sort it through. We work it out. Father God's invitation is always to work it out. Always to come. Always to know. This is the love of the Father who stands at the gate looking for his prodigal son, stretching his eyes into the distance, looking whether or not he'll come back. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Yes, there he is, running to get him. Because he's coming. And he'll meet him where he is. And he'll meet you where you are. And it doesn't matter where that is. And it doesn't matter what it is that's been a problem. The Druids had been sacrificing children. You'd reckon that God wouldn't want to even talk to him, wouldn't you? But he sent Patrick to tell them that he'd already given his son so they didn't have to give theirs. He invited them into covenant love. It's a beautiful picture, and I think it's better than all the pots of Guinness people might drink today. This is what he wants for us, to live our lives in that place and to grow and bear fruit in that place. Patrick had the coming in. He had the becoming part of community. He had the discipleship, and then he had the sending out. That was his fourth order. You go out. You live it out. And you go out there and you bring others in, because Father gave his son for the whole world, not just for the people inside the wall. My Jesus' last recorded words are, go. Create community wherever you are through the power of the Holy Spirit with the people that are around you. They might not know you're a Christian, but as you live out that life, they will come. I had a lovely thing this morning with one of our people who said to me that at something they were going to, which has nothing to do with church, somebody had picked up, they were from church, and they came and said, can you talk to your priest, because we would like a baptism and we know you go to church. There's a bridge. They didn't know they went to church, because sometimes you don't tell anybody to do it. What are you doing that for? But there you go. God is using that moment to create community and to bring in a family that is sitting outside. There is a depth to God's love that we just can't fathom. But sometimes in our human minds, we make God in our own image and we think he's got all the limits that we have. But this has no limit. And because God's love has no limit, we, in his love, are limitless in what we can live, be, and to do in him. According to his steadfast love and faithfulness, according to the law written on our hearts by Holy Spirit, who helps us to understand where the boundaries are, we can bear so much fruit. But it starts when this heart is given to that heart, and together we make relationship. If you have not made that extra step this morning, I invite you to do so. I invite you to make a step, to do one thing, to come closer. And if you are hurting today, if there is something deep within you and the love that you've tried to give has been thrown back in your face, or something else has happened and the heart that you have feels pretty broken and you're not sure that you can give it over to God very easily because it just hurts too much at the moment, come and see me. Because our God is the one who binds up the broken heart. And he is the one who brings love. He doesn't want you on the outside. He wants you right in here with him. Every day, 24 hours, 7 days, forever. And then on the day when you get to meet him face to face, it will not be groveling. It will be, well done, good and faithful servant. Come in for the reward of my father. So, thank you, Lord, for Patrick. Thank you, Lord, for somebody who did discipleship courses before anybody knew what they were. And because he taught this love all through Ireland and he sent out teams of people to keep teaching it, that is why it became a Christian nation. I'd love to see that here.